Welcome to the meeting of the Scrutiny Community Regeneration Environment and Health and Wellbeing Committee. We'll start with the agenda. Andrea, are there to receive apologies for absence?
Thank you, Chairman. We've received apologies from Councillors Gould, Hudson and County Councillor Atkins.
Thank you. Item number two, declarations of interest. Has anyone, we've all seen the agenda, has anyone got any declarations of interest? No? Okay, thank you. Item number three, to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. I believe there isn't any.
That's correct, Chairman.
Thank you. Item number four, to approve the public minutes of the meeting held on the 23rd of June. I'm presuming everyone's seen the minutes. I can't propose them because I wasn't here. So can we have a proposer, please? Thank you, Councillor Clark. And a seconder. Councillor Hussain, thank you. We'll go to the vote. All those in favour? Thank you. Oh, well, actually, wait. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Laura. Okay. We'll just wait for a second while Laura gets Councillor Beach gets organised. Okay, Councillor Beach, we are on item number four, which is to approve the minutes of the previous meeting held on the 23rd of June. We have already voted. What would your preference be?
Four.
You're four. Okay, thank you. And those against? And those abstaining? That would be myself as well. Okay, thank you very much. That's carried. Item number five, appointment of vice chairman. Now, I personally don't see any reason why we should change vice chair, so I'm going to propose that Councillor Julie Killoran remains as vice chair. Can I have a seconder for that, please? Councillor Ackroyd, thank you. We'll just go to the vote on that if there are no others that would like to be vice chair. Okay, so those four. Those against. And those abstaining. Thank you, that's carried. Thank you, Julie, for Councillor Killoran for being vice chair. Okay, item number six, which is the update from the Health and Care Overview Scrutiny Committee of Staffordshire County Council. Now, I'm sure we've all seen Councillor Atkins' sort of words to make sure that, you know, he's given us an overview of it. He can't be here today for personal reasons. So would anyone like to ask a question of Councillor Atkins in his absence that would then be forwarded on to him, of course? No? Okay. Thank you. Oh, Councillor Hussain.
Yeah, sorry, Chair. We've swapped temporarily. I've seen. Well, just glanced at the report. I've seen what's on here, but with the ongoing problems with the CCG, and I say the CCG because some things they're answering when we approach them direct, some things they're not. Some things they're disclosing to members of the public and not to elected representatives. We've got serious issues with GP surgeries, certainly within my constituency, still across the town, and I think it's probably prudent that we invite them into this scrutiny committee rather than just going to the county. I don't know what's going on across Staffordshire, but there's issues in this town and issues that we as a scrutiny committee should have the answers to.
Yeah, I totally agree, Councillor Walker. We, unfortunately, the CCGs aren't doing face-to-face meetings at the moment. If we'd had a hybrid, a screen, we might have been able to have them on. But we did invite them, the answer is they're not doing face-to-face meetings at the moment. I'm very disappointed. I'd like to put that on record, that we can't have them in this evening to for us to ask questions.
Sorry, just to follow up from that, do we have the facilities for some kind of hybrid meeting?
I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that question, but I will find that out. And Councillor Gregman?
I mean, we've just been conducting 18 months of Zoom meetings. I think
indeed.
Let me finish. I don't think it's beyond the wit of man for us to be in this room and for them to join us on a Zoom on the PC. And that's not really a technological situation we need to investigate, because it's something we've all been doing for 18 months. We could meet face-to-face, they could be on a Zoom. Very disappointing that's not been suggested to them, and perhaps that should be suggested to them.
Thank you, Councillor Graven. I think that we will do that. There is also no reason why we can't be on Zoom as well for this meeting, so, just to point that out. But yes, I will suggest that to them. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to comment on that? Councillor Hussain.
It's working now, I think. Thank you, Chair. First of all, I'd like to congratulate you and Killoran for your appointment as well. But at the same time, regarding Councillor Atkins, I'm quite tempted to put my county council hat on it. So I would like to urge the council, yourself as well, to get a presence of him, actually, so that we can get the vast view on this. Because what we know, the care facility is facing significant changes in coming months, and regardless of political spectrum or anything, we are all frustrated because of the lack of green papers from the number 10, what's going on, the support, what our elders deserve in their later stage of life. So it is absolutely crucial to have a word with Councillor Atkins in this kind of forum so that we can share our views openly, and so that we can share our local concerns, so that he can put it to the in his county forum, or sometimes even he can go to lobby with our local MPs to get our things done. So I would really, really allude to see him to share our concerns so that we can get something. So I urge through our officers, if it is possible, to rearrange a meeting with Councillor Atkins himself. He was the leader of the council as well. So I'm sure we will all be benefited with his wealth of wisdom. Thank you, Chair.
That's okay, Councillor. I would agree totally with your comments. I think hopefully at our next meeting, Councillor Atkins will be here. And then we can just ask him, whatever you wish in that respect. Councillor Walker?
Yeah, sorry to prolong this.
That's okay.
Because just before I left to come here, and this is the other thing that frustrates me about the CCG, and to back up what Councillor Hussain has just mentioned, we've just learned, and these figures are readily available in the House of Commons Library, that the poverty levels for children in this town has now risen again, and we're nearly at a quarter across this town. And with poverty brings many health issues, and it's something that we should all be striving to improve. There's reports, and it's looking one of the wards in Inner Burton, that it's nearly gone up to 50% now. And this really isn't good enough, and we should have Councillor Atkins in. He should be taking it back to the county as well. So it's a frustrating night for me.
Yeah, and especially with what's happening in your ward regarding the Gordon Street surgery as well, I'm sure. But yes, I totally agree. I'll look forward actually for him being here so that we can actually ask him those questions, very much so. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. So we'll now move on to the scrutiny, item number 7, which is the scrutiny review updates. Just the waste, that's Mike. Can you give us an idea, Mike, where we are on that? Please, the waste management.
Yes, absolutely. I think I'm working. At the moment we are looking to organise another subgroup meeting for next week. There is a survey that's out at the moment to get people the public views on how we handle waste and recycling. And our waste management team have at the moment shared some benchmarking figures from across the West Midlands, and with some of our neighbouring authorities in South Derbyshire, the group that we're looking to pull together. Just to review those figures, they're not quite in the format that we were initially expecting. There's a lot of data, so I wanted to bring the group together to go through that data to see what we want to include in the report. And then we should be in a position, Chair, to have at least a draft for the next meeting.
Excellent. That's it. Okay, thank you. Does anybody want to ask Mike, Councillor Grosvenor?
Thanks, Mike. About the survey that you've just mentioned that's out to complete, can you just tell me when does the deadline end for people to complete that, and also where is it published?
It's been published through social media and also on our e-newsletter, which went out, last week to residents as well. I'm just trying to find the deadline. Just bear with me.
While you're finding that, so when you say social media, it's on the council's Facebook page.
Yes.
Cool. Thanks.
The deadline is tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
Thank you. So, Dan, if you can give us an update on the review that you're doing, please.
Yes, no problem. A draft report has been circulated to subgroup members, and it's now with the subgroup team to sort of build on the draft report to add their own ideas and to suggest some recommendations. So the report's with the subgroup, and once we've, hopefully we can meet for the next meeting and get a draft report ready to present to the next scrutiny meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dan. Okay, Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mike, for the report and for the for emailing us. In a layman terms, if we go to the doorstep or something, what changes can we anticipate on this new proposal? Could you please advise us? I mean, there are so many things, from cutting costs to, the sustainable climate change and things. But are we ready for this? And to explain to our residents, could you please explain it to us? That what changes we can anticipate?
it's probably too early to say. I think it would be a case of the group coming up with any changes that they feel as a council that we could put forward at this point in time, because we've not completed that benchmarking exercise. It's really hard to say. The areas that tend to do more recycling, looking at the figures, tend to be more affluent. So in the West Midlands, it's Stratford-upon-Avon. So there might be some social factors there, but I don't know yet because we've not delved into those figures. I'd be really hesitant to say anything more than that at this point in time.
So I appreciate that. Hopefully when the time is right, we'll be advised in due course.
Well, hopefully at our next meeting, we may have something more concrete so people can ask, councillors can ask questions on. Okay, and thank you, Dan, for that as well. Okay, so we'll now move then on to item number 8, which is to approve the public executive decision records, the EDRs. I'm sure you've all seen those. Is there any questions on them? Councillor Grosvenor?
Thank you. 328.21, which is the appointment of Councillor Hudson to the Staffordshire Police and Fire panel. There used to be an allowance that was paid to councillors that were appointed to that panel, not by this council, but by the county. Could you confirm if that's still the case and how much it is, please?
Andrea?
Thank you, Councillor. Yeah, there is an allowance paid through the County Council, and I think it's just approximately £900 per year. £900 per year.
Okay. Is that okay, Councillor Grosvenor? You're happy with that? Yeah? Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. In 326.21 and 327.21, and they both make reference to approving the recommendations in paragraph B2, but I don't necessarily think the detail in the reasonings behind that detail what those recommendations are in paragraph B2. So could I ask a question for both of those, just for more details on what the recommendations showed in paragraph B2 were as part of both of those, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get back to you on that, if that's okay, Councillor.
Thank you. Councillor Clark, anyone else? Okay. So we'll take a vote on that. No, it's just to be noted. Sorry, apologies. That's my a new chair. So, yeah, okay. Of course, obviously. Yeah. Okay, item number 9. Questions. To receive any questions submitted by a member of the committee for answer by Azabin. No. Okay, thank you. Item number 10 is the date of the next meeting. We're all aware that it's the 22nd of September. Councillor Hussain, are you about to say something? Or
yes, yes, with due respect to everyone, Chair. This meeting, and our officers put so much effort in there as well, and this is like seeing a series of consecutive shortness of these, you know, the limitations. This meeting is now, we are about to conclude within 19 minutes. And if we see the historical things, sometimes it goes 12 minutes, 13 minutes. With respect to the all learned councillors here, it makes a long time to come in here as well. I would urge yourself and other senior councillors as well to find out the way how we can get most out of it. It's 19 minutes for a meeting, 14 minutes for such a meeting for this. It's not a good sign for local democracy, I would say. So could you, regardless of our political difference or whatever it is, we would like to. And it wasn't the case. Even in these rooms, we spend there more than hours to go through the report and criticize and find out the constructive criticism. And it's like this, today, I just got 20 minutes and few seconds. And the meeting before, 12 minutes or 30 minutes, I'm kind of a bit uncomfortable. And I find that this is not a best way to utilize the taxpayers' money. And I would be grateful to yourself and other colleagues to find out a way so that we can get most out of these kind of meetings. Thank you, Chair.
I will certainly do that. I'm also concerned about the length of meetings. I'm presuming the people, the councillors from Uttoxeter, actually took longer to get here, and you know, if I'm honest. So I am all for what you just said, quite frankly. I would like, personally, to get much more out of these meetings, and assuming the CCG were here, that would have, you know, helped us out as well as we got on that. Councillor Clark.
I was just going to say, so with respect to that point, is that, can you hear me? Yeah.
You're not on.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. So I think with respect to that point, I think for the past several meetings when we were virtual and we were having external guests in, I think those meetings worked. Those meetings worked quite well, and we had substantial discussion, not just about internal but also external issues. I think one of the challenges that we had, from my experience as the previous chair on this committee at the last meeting, was that now that we've gone to face-to-face meetings, it has made it more difficult. So with respect as well, we were meant to have the CCG in at the last meeting, which would have significantly lengthened that meeting as well. And then this meeting as well, well, for the previous stuff that I was working on anyway, we'd have had an external guest in, and I assume with, again,
well, we
in regards
to
the CCG.
Yep.
So I don't necessarily think it's an issue that, it's an ongoing issue. I think it's more of a circumstance of where the meetings have fallen in relation to the external organisations.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I can say that there is always some room of improvement, actually. And well, I would like to recognize our officers, and we are so blessed with those officers. They spend hours to put those reports together. So we want to utilize their resources, actually. That's all, actually, I'm saying. There is always we can, you know, improve our actions. That's what I can say. And we don't want to be in a vicious cycle of propensity that within 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 27 minutes, it's not the way it is. You're right, you mentioned our colleagues who traveled from Uttoxeter. It takes so much effort in there. And I believe the taxpayers got to pay their mileage as well. So, thank you, Chair.
Councillor Hussain, can't say any more. I totally agree with what you're saying. So, you know, open door, as they say. Just before we do close the meeting, Councillor Walker, would you like to comment any more on the Gordon Street issue that we've got now regarding the closing of that surgery? I mean, obviously, it is in your ward, so I'm giving you the chance to...
In what respect, that it's been ongoing for quite some time? My understanding, it's been closed again today. It was closed... Was it Friday or Thursday? Thursday, but whether there's uncertainty whether it's it was closed Thursday for deep cleaning... So whether that's COVID related, you would suspect it is. There's staffing issues going on down there, but it is my surgery as well. It's not just the area I represent. It is my surgery, but you get through to the doctors. The doctors are excellent, but my understanding is they've just got serious shortages of staff.
Thank you, Chair. Not only Gordon Street surgeries, and in my areas as well, and there are people who are in a different surgeries. Nowadays, some kind of a degree of frustrations in there as well. whether you want to get an appointment or something. It wasn't the case that if you ring, you got to wait 2 weeks to get an appointment. And I'm talking about those vulnerable patients who are waiting to be treated for their cancer treatment or diagnosed with this. And these are the something that we need to focus on in this forum, and even through the CCG or even our, you know, the different authorities, if it is possible. So may I urge, if there is anything we can do as a counselor in our small capacity or something, we are more than happy to assist you on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sim. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I think just to add to that as well, I've started to receive an increasing number of residents contacting me with concern around GP capacities. And I've noticed as well, increasingly across social media and certain groups, there are more and more frequently messages on there of people struggling to get through and people struggling to get an appointment, and even instances where they do get appointments, they're then being cancelled. And I think there's a real concern at the minute, one, not just of capacity, but also of the return to services that GPs have, given that we are now, in theory, out of lockdowns and COVID and everything there, and that there is a real concern that GPs are slimming back services to be the bare minimum that they need to provide and not providing additional services. So, for example, at Trent Meadows, they previously used to, they would take blood, and they would take blood for the hospital as well. They've now stopped that, so that if you need to give blood for the hospital, you actually have to go to the hospital and have an appointment there. They did that pretty much through most of COVID. I think there's a real issue then as well around the return of face-to-face appointments. And I know quite a few people that have had issues, be they physical issues in terms of muscular pain or ear infections or stomach infections, where they're being told by the GPs to take a photo and email it in or to hold the phones up to the stomachs so that they can have a listen and things like that. And I personally don't think that's good enough or acceptable when people can have life-altering and life-changing conditions that need to be seen sooner rather than later. And then I think there's a real concern that if we've got these pressures now with GPs in areas such as Branston and across Burton and even in Uttoxeter, where we're building thousands of homes, when these are built, particularly in Branston, there is an area for a GP with no funding to actually build a building for a GP. I think it's a real concern that over the next 10 years we're going to add 5,000 more residents to Branston with no increased GP capacity. So I do think it is quite serious that there are some underlying concerns, and I do think it would be good, be it a hybrid meeting or face-to-face, to get the CCG in so that we can go through these concerns with them.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. I agree. Maybe some of our other councillors might be aware, I don't know, of the fact that Stretton residents use the Branston surgery, which to me is, you know. Thank you, Councillor Clark.
They send you to Trent Meadows all the time. It's really difficult to see a doctor at Stretton, and it's really difficult for people to get to. If you don't drive, it's quite a long way in a taxi. It's impossible on a bus unless you take all day. And the Stretton surgery, there's a lot of people live there, so they're building more houses in and around Branston, so they've got those people to see, and they're sending us over to Trent Meadows. I was just told you're not registered here anymore, you're at Trent Meadows. Didn't even get consulted on it, just got told. The nurse, you could see the nurse for minor things, that's very difficult now. I do believe they do see some patients at Stretton, but it's a tiny percentage of the people they used to see.
Okay, I've got two hands up, but Mike, would you?
Yeah, just listening to what all the councillors have said, and I need to check with Andrea constitutionally. Can we set up a small working group of members to look into this? Because it sounds, just listening to what everybody's said, there's lots of issues, but we are struggling to get the CCG to be physically in a room with us. Constitutionally, can we do a Zoom meeting with them?
You could, as long as it's not a formal meeting. Like formal meetings need to be face to face, but if you're like a review group meeting or along the lines of what you're doing with your other scrutiny reviews, you could do that and then report back to this formal meeting. That might be a way of moving forward.
I just wondered if that was another avenue in, Chair. If that's something councillors would want to explore.
So if councillors would like to do that, please contact Mike, and I'm sure Mike will say that at Mike.
If there's volunteers amongst the committee members that want to be part of that, half a dozen we normally go with, I'm happy to do that.
Thank you, Mike. Councillor Brady, first of all, and then I can see Councillor Legg and Councillor Ackroyd as well, and Councillor Walker as well.
Yeah, thank you. Echoing really on what Councillor Clark was saying, it's the same within our area, to the point of a telephone now. I think mainly as well it has been worse since the pandemic, and to get services back to normal, we have been told that, and it's been my surgery, that they're continuing with everything as it was. So no face-to-face unless necessary. Telephone appointments now, you're looking at 4 weeks. Sometimes by a telephone appointment. And in this way, it's a personal on that. I know that for a fact because it was personally that's happened to me. So I know that's happened and other people have discussed. And secondly, I think with the Stapenhall area, we've had Drakelow, a big housing estate that's been built, plus another housing estate that's just further up, I think, called Bluebell Woods, which are in Derbyshire. Mm. Now, they are advertised for our doctors. So yeah. To say their nearest doctor, their doctors will be Stapenham, Fifield and Bridge Surgery. So when you've got bordering, one is Derbyshire and we're Staffordshire, that's what they're now advertising. Our doctors are full. You cannot get appointments. And I do think that, no offence to the doctor, I think they've done a wonderful job, but I do think GPs need to start looking at or something happening where then to see patients. I was diagnosed with an ear infection and told to pick up antibiotics that I never even actually seen the doctor. It was just on the telephone. And that's how it's come to a point where you don't bother actually ringing up to see a GP. And I noticed on here, where there was no one here that was saying people are going to A&E. And it is true. You go to A&E for the simple fact that, well, at least I'm going to get seen by somebody. Because at the moment, I think there's not many people getting seen by doctors. I know people who I talk to in my area, they're not being seen by doctors. Everything is done over the telephone, whether it's echoing exactly what Councillor Clark said, ear infections, problems with this, or stomach problems, it's just pick up the antibiotics and that's all you do. And I do think, I like what her said to join a group, but I do think this is seriously now to be, I think we have to look into this.
If you'd like to join that group, then that would...
I think it is getting to a point. I do think it's quite serious now that doctors aren't... I think we need to look into this a bit more, and we... Especially, like I say, my area, you've got Drakelow being built. Either Staffordshire and Derbyshire need to work together or something because we've only got two dots and they're coming. We haven't got enough.
Thank you. Councillor Brady. Councillor Ackroyd? Or Councillor Legg? Either one of you? Very happy.
Well, I was just going to volunteer actually for this group, but excellent. Can I just also say that one of the big problems is the lack of earwax removal. You know, when you get to a certain age, unfortunately, that is a problem. And it is very, very debilitating when you lose your hearing. It's all gone private now. You can't get it done after a surgery at all. And the waiting list, because of that, the demands for this are 4 to 6 weeks. And if you can't hear anything, trust me, this has happened to me. It is incredibly difficult.
There's also a balance problem, I think, isn't there, as well?
Sorry?
It should be balanced as well.
All sorts of things are affected by it. But to me, you know, it's a very simple procedure that used to be carried out in surgeries by the nurses. All gone.
Thank you, Councillor Ackroyd. Councillor Legg.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to say that sometimes I don't think it is, with all the will in the world, that there is a shortage of doctors coming forward to surgeries like you've got a building at Branston. We were lucky enough to get some 106 money from the planning of a new development, if it goes ahead, for our surgery. But if we haven't got a doctor, it's not much good. Thank you.
Thank you, Alison. Councillor Walker, I think, did you have your hand up?
Sorry, I was just going to say, actually, telephone triage worked really well. We've used it in the hospital for many, many years. If it's run well, it is really effective way of triaging somebody with something like an ear infection or sore throat or something like that. So I think, you know, they're doing well under the circumstances. However, there is a problem and there is drug errors going on. I've had drug errors sent myself, and because I'm a senior nurse, I understand the drugs, I understand what they're going through. But to give someone like myself, that's fine, I can articulate enough to say this is the wrong drug, you know, I've got that knowledge base. But somebody who hasn't got that knowledge base, an elderly person or somebody with a second language, and first language is English, I think it's really, really frightening out there. And I've heard of people in my ward that are 90 who still haven't had the COVID injections yet, which is really, really frightening and really scary. And the surgery said, no, we've been into the house and done it. And the family he lives with said, nobody's been in the house, he's not had it done. So there are really serious errors out there going on out there. And this is a really big concern of mine. And I have wrote to the CCG and spoke with them, and they're going to get back to me, they said.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. I think your experience is going to be very valuable on this committee, so that's brilliant. Councillor Hussain. I'm just going to go round, Councillor Grover, then it's the reason why I've...
Thank you, Chair, and you're very generous to me, actually, giving me the floor.
Well,
for
you have your hand up.
Raise our hands. Thank you. Just would like to add something with what they're doing in the GP and our health professionals in the NHS. They're doing an absolutely tremendous job, and we owe a huge degree of gratitude to them. The reason I am pointing out here is not the quality of their service, it's the quantity. And on the same note, when we permit any new development, like, you know, the council clerk mentioned about 5,000 houses and thousands of houses, we need to think about those services if we are providing for our residents, not only GPs. What about the police service? Those things need to be bear in mind before we permit those planning applications and things. Sometimes Section 106 can give us the money, but we don't get that vital logistics or, you know, the service that need for the increased residents as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hussain. Councillor Grosvenor.
Yeah, a couple of things. On the subgroup that was very helpfully suggested, can we turn that around? Because I guess most councillors would probably want to be on that. So why don't we just organise a separate meeting, tell councillors this meeting is taking place, call it a subgroup so it's not an official meeting, and we can turn up and discuss with the CCG. And if councillors want to turn up, they can turn up to that subgroup meeting. It's not a formal meeting, the scrutiny, it's a subgroup. I guess most of us would want to turn up anyway. In terms of the comment that's just been made by Councillor Hussain and also the comment by Councillor Legg about a lack of doctors, I wouldn't disagree, and I wouldn't disagree with that either. But the council's got a local plan in place for the next 20 years of house building. In that local plan, there's a duty on the council to cooperate with organisations in the production of the local plan to talk about additional facilities that are required in areas to match the housing development that comes forward. We met with the CCG, this group did. I'm not sure whether councillors were there present or remember the conversations took place. But I specifically asked the question to them about housing development and about how they were going to accommodate new facilities for housing development. And the answer came back was they didn't know where the housing development was, so they needed to try and understand and work with planning teams where the housing development was going to take place. Well, that's not a good enough answer because, as I pointed out on the night, there's a local plan which tells you that 3,500 houses are going to be built within 3 miles of Branston, that there's another 2,500 houses in a couple of miles of Sapon Hill. So the CCG should be aware of this, and I pointed that out. And the advice came back, well, we'll look at that and see then for our plans for the future. And I think it's more than just a lack of doctors. It's a lack of planning to understand where the houses are going to be, where they need facilities, then to get funding for that and recruit to it. So it's not just a question of no doctors. They've not planned for it. And they need to plan for it by looking through our local plan that this council has put in place, which we need to refresh clearly, but it's there. And that's something that we need to discuss with the CCG. Are they reviewing the local plan? Are they looking at where the housing is going to be developed? And are they making plans to accommodate facilities for the housing that's going to be built? I'm not saying 50 houses in Abbots Bromley, you know, requires a new CCG, but certainly a new GP, for example, but certainly 3,500 houses in Branston does. You know, 2,000 houses in New Toxeter does. And that's what's something we need to understand from them, what plans they make, how they accommodate that, and what they do in terms of reviewing it. And that's questions we need to be asked. So a subgroup, brilliant. Let's just have every councillor there, if we can, and to answer the questions about how they can plan for additional facilities.
Thank you, Councillor Grove. And actually, may I just say, again, as I said to Councillor Walker, your experience as a former leader will actually be invaluable as well with this committee. So, thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Walker was first, and then Councillor Beach.
Yep.
Well, I've
called you, so... Yeah. You're the boss. Just to back up what Councillor Groves just said, really, I think quite a while ago we spoke in this committee, if I remember right, about the very same things that was just mentioned. I know we've got people from the planning committee here, and I wouldn't want to drag them into it, but it would be good to get some of the planners here to talk about how they go forward with these housing developments and who they talk to. Do they talk to the CCGs? How do they go forward? Because you've heard you've got a lot of 5,000 houses, 3,000 houses. It's up for debate in Branston. You've got them in Stapnell. You've got loads of houses going up in B Mill, along Rolston Road. There's houses going up all over Burton. And one thing we've established tonight, we've got a real shortage of GPs in this town. And as I say, with a community that was ravaged with a second wave of COVID and didn't have access to GP surgeries, we've got child poverty rising, yet we've got houses going up left, right and centre, and we've got no health facilities. So it'd be good to have an understanding from all sides, and when I say all sides, not just the CCG, from the planners as well.
Well, maybe we can do that, Andrew. Can we invite the planners in to... I think that's... Yeah, good point. Councillor Beach, Councillor Clark, I will come to you, but Councillor Beach. Well, okay.
So I was just going to very quickly say that after we had the CCG in last time, we did raise the issue of Section 106 money and had Deputy Leader George Allen as well to give an update on that. And he spoke about the increased cooperation they were looking to do there. Just to make reference as well to Councillor Philip Atkins' update, that he also does make reference in there that the CCG are providing briefing notes advising members how they're going to start involving the process more with healthcare around Section 106. So I think it would be something to look back on the minutes and notes from those meetings to then expand forward with the CCG and Deputy Leader George Allen around what progress has been made there.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Beach.
I wanted to sort of echo what Councillor Walker had said. I've got kind of an NHS background. I worked in hospitals. I've worked in pharmacy and I now work with under fives. So from a general perspective, I think we have an advantage in that we understand the system in a different way. We understand drugs, we understand who's referred to who speaks to who and who reports to who. And I think part of the problem in patients accessing services is that their initial thought is, I'll ring the GP. Well, why the GP? Can the triage system needs to be kind of reinforced almost by us, not even by us, just by everybody, that does it need to be a GP? Could you pop into the pharmacy? The pharmacist can quite easily say, no, you absolutely need to see a GP. I will write you a note, or I can speak to somebody upstairs, or I can, you know, which GP practice are you with? I will make a phone call. From a personal perspective, I know this works. I had appendicitis mid-lockdown, and I just had a pain, and I was like, oh, I've pulled a muscle. 5 days, I carried on going to work. I just took some pain relief because I'm well educated in these matters, and appendicitis is crippling, and I should have been on the floor crying. And I rang the GP, and I just explained where my pain was, and I was able to use language that she understood. She was able to use language that I understood. Joe Public doesn't necessarily have that advantage. She gave me two choices. She said, come in, and I will do you a pregnancy test and a urine dip, and we can rule those out. Or you can turn up at A&E, and they will rule those out. But if it's appendicitis, I'm going to send you anyway. So off I went, and I waited at A&E. I'd got appendicitis. I was treated in hospital for 10 days odd. The triage system works if the information is able to be exchanged. And as professionals, we need to be encouraging that, but we need to be helping our peers to be able to encourage that too. And I've never volunteered for a group or anything because I'm greener than grass in terms of this, but I would like to be involved in this, and I think it's something that we do need to support. GPs generally, it's not appealing to people, it's true. There are a lack of GPs because it's hugely unappealing. You do, what, 4 or 5 years at university and then another 5 or 6 before you can be a GP. I graduated in 2012. I'd barely be qualified to be a GP. I'm 31. The drag out is not appealing. The cost all of a sudden of university is also a massive downturn on A, people attending university, and B, people wanting to extend their training for any longer than absolutely necessary. So I do think it's a general problem overall. But I think if we can encourage it, well, understand better how the system is working and how the system is trying to make itself work to use external services like pharmacies, podiatry, etc., that we could make some progress overall.
Thank you, Councillor Beach. Okay, so again, going back to item number 10. Whoa, sorry, Councillor Barker, apologies.
Yes, now we're working. Yeah, thank you, Chair. It's a shame that you aren't here tonight. They would have a great oversight of how it's going on with those people on the ground. But we do now have a planning. I mean, they are consulted. They have, as Councillor Grove said, they were very slow starting. They have money to come into the table with money to use in them areas, and rightly so. You know, we're appreciative that we need that. But it's a matter of joined up. And I say it's a shame they're not here tonight. Just to reassure you all, it's not Burton or the other areas. I'm in the nice leafy area of Ashbourne, which is where I was born, and I've always been in the surgery there.
Exactly the same problem. It's still a 2 weeks waiting list for a telephone appointment, so don't think it's something that's just in East Staffordshire. I'm afraid it's a national problem, but the sooner we get to the CCG and we talk to them, the better. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barker. Okay, before I move on, is that it now? Are we all happy in that respect? So when you contact Mike, if you'd like to be on that subgroup, I suggest you do so. And that would be brilliant. Thank you for that. So as I said, the date of the next meeting is on the 22nd of September. Hopefully you will all be there. Councillor Hussain, okay.
Thank you, Chair. When Councillor Barker mentioned about the consultee, can I just also, humbly remind every councillor, we are the official consultee of every planning permission in our area which has come. May I humbly ask again, if you are to make any comment or anything, could you please, in your own comment, highlight this problem as well before we approve any applications or pass our comment this issue. Not only this GP or CCG problem, we have bigger problems like police and other basic services as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hussain. Andrew, you've made a note of that, I'm sure. Okay. So, as I've just said, the date of the next meeting is 22nd of September, and hopefully I will see you all there, or here, should I say. So, the meeting is now closed. Thank you.